Well, welcome back again. This is the third part of the lessons that we've been having about being ordained and the part that outreach plays in the Church of Jesus Christ. We've been stressing all through the course, and now as we come to this part about being ordained, that the Church of Jesus Christ exists to make disciples. That is certainly true about us as ordained leaders, persons who are set apart in a special way in the Church of Jesus Christ. This is our last session now, and it's something that I like to call being a thoughtless vocal witness. And that means that we do it without thinking. Just like we jump back from danger, just like we help somebody in trouble without thinking, just like when, if you're driving a car, you swerve to miss something without thinking, so to share Jesus Christ with those who don't know Him is a thoughtless thing for us, especially because we're set apart as leaders. Let's first pray and then move on. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, Your Son. And we know that Your desire is that the whole world would be reconciled back home to You. Jesus, we know that Your heart's desire is that people would be saved, and that You gave Your Holy Spirit to open people's hearts to receive the truth of the gospel. As we think about being set apart by You, Jesus, in Your church, to be leaders of those who also have abilities, we want to do it and to show it that our main purpose is to bring lost people home to new life in You. We open our ears now to hear what You have to teach us. We love You. Amen. The number one qualification I'm going to say about being ordained, being set apart in the Church of Jesus Christ, are you a thoughtless vocal witness of Jesus Christ? We saw in the last lesson how people are watching us all the time. And when they know and when they see that you're doing that, they're going to be doing it too. And if you are not, would you answer the question, are you willing to be ordained as a thoughtless vocal witness? That's the main question. In your leadership role, do you want the people who study with you, do you want the people in your church or in your Bible study or at work or wherever you're going to use your ability, do you want them also to be reaching out? Then you have to do it as well. The first thing we want to look at is the foundation of the ordained person. This is so important. You know why? Because ordained persons speak with authority. Not our authority, not just because we've been ordained, but listen to this. 2 Peter 1 verse 21 says, for prophecy, that is the Bible, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who worked through people to write down the truths in the Bible. There are other verses as well. We think of the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Listen to this. And we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, listen to this. This is the basis of your authority. You accepted it not as a human word, but that actually is the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Just think about it. The Bible that you study, the Bible that you teach, is the actual Word of God. That's why we talk about the authority we have. There's plenty other verses. We'll look at another in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one person and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ. That's the authority of the Word. I believe that the greatest threat to the Church of Jesus Christ today around the world is to say that there are other ways of salvation than Jesus Christ. If you believe that, then just walk away from being ordained. Don't lead others down that path of falsehood. There is one and only one way to find forgiveness with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. We speak that with authority because it is found in His Word, in the Bible, which is God's Word. Think also of John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I don't know how anybody can teach there are other ways of salvation and still say they believe the Bible is true. We want to talk then, too, about the ability of ordained persons. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. "Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Isn't that a great verse? What would our food taste like without salt? Some people have a diet, they can't use it, and they say their food tastes like nothing. What about our language? What about our lives? That they just appeal to other persons. Why? Because they're full of grace, that we allow people room to breathe. Or think in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." Would that be a picture of your life? As an ordained person, they would say, that person has the joy of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the ability of the ordained person. And the first is that ordained person's knowledge equips them to lead. Look about Philip when he met a person who didn't understand the Bible at all. Acts 8, verse 35. "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told that man the good news about Jesus." Can you do that? Do you have that knowledge? Are you willing to train yourself and to spend the effort to get to know God's Word that well? The second is that an ordained person's attitude equips them to lead. Look at what Peter says. "Not lording it over those entrusting to you, but by being examples to the flock." You know what the shortcut is? To use words. The shortcut is to use authority. The shortcut is to say, "Do it this way. Don't bother me." But our attitude equips us to lead. We don't lord it over others. Jesus didn't. We are one of His. And then we look at the ordained person as a teacher. John 3:10, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You are Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things?" Would those words apply to you? You've been ordained and you don't really understand what the Bible teaches? Think Galatians 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." What a wonderful thing it is that we can teach these people under us to know their Savior. Listen, Jesus had said to him, to Nicodemus, the same person again, "I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." That's our role, our position as being set apart to lead others. We are teachers. We can teach people to know their Savior. And then we want to look at that as an ordained person, as a teacher, and we have to know our materials. Listen to this. On the night that Jesus rose from the dead, he was walking along the road and saw two people walking ahead of him. So he walked a little faster and he caught up with them. And they didn't understand the resurrection. They said, "You know what? We trusted in Jesus." They didn't recognize him. "We trusted in Jesus and we thought he was going to be with us all the time. And he died and he was buried and we don't know where he is anymore." And Jesus, it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. That teaches us something. Every part of the Bible points to Jesus. Can you do that with every part of the Bible? Can you show this is talking about Jesus? This is talking about Jesus. Or John 3:11, Jesus said to Nicodemus, I tell you, I speak of what I know, and I testify to what I have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. Okay? Jesus knew what he believed. He was familiar with the Bible. He quoted it all the time. Or think of 2 Timothy 1:13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Jesus Christ. We have to know our materials. We have to be ready to jump in at any point. Remember, we just saw that verse about being ready all the time to give an answer of the hope that is in us. Now, as teachers, we have to be ready to teach people to know their materials. And then the ordained person as a teacher, not only teaching people to know their Savior, not only teaching people to know their materials, but also teaching people to know their audience. And this is big. Listen to this. In Hebrews 2, verse 11, it says, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. Okay, who is the one who makes people holy? That's Jesus. And who are those who need to be made holy? That's you and me. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Jesus became a human being. The Lord of all placed himself under others. The one who had all the power in the world became weak. The one who gave life was willing to die. Jesus was not ashamed of any of that. What about you? Are you willing to be identified with the people around you? Those who are Christians and those who aren't? Do you at all think that maybe you're a little bit better than they are? Do you forget what the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Or in Ephesians 3, 1 to 4, do you forget, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. All of us lived among them at one time. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Excuse me a minute. What does that point out? You and I are no different from the people around us. You and I were born dead in transgressions and sins. You and I, as ordained persons, you know why we believe? Because when our hearts were dead in transgression and sin, God sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts to bring life. And then because there was life there, not through anything we did, but through the Holy Spirit, we could believe in Jesus Christ. So what makes us different from anybody else? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have to know and teach our people to know the audience all around us. There are other verses as well. Look at Luke 19, 41 and 42. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, and he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. How often do you cry about people who aren't saved? How often is your heart torn by the things that tear Jesus' heart? He looked at the people who had rejected him. And he cries over them. And you know what we do so often? We get mad at people. We reject them. We say, I don't have to spend time with you. If you don't want to listen to this, then I won't talk to you. And Jesus shows us his great heart. He cries over them. We have to teach people to know their audience. And people out there, probably most of the people in the world today don't care what you have to say. They just don't care about Jesus. And yet in their hearts, there's an awful hungering and thirsting to know Him. And the only way that that can change is by the power of the Holy Spirit as He works through you. Remember we saw talking about approaching people with gentleness and respect? Now's the time to look at your life and to say, that's the way I'm going to approach people. With gentleness and respect. I'm going to weep over them. It's so easy to point out sin. It's so easy even to become self-righteous and to say, you know what that person in the office did last weekend? You know what that person did against his husband or against his wife? So easy to condemn others. And we have to teach our people to know their audience. We had a verse before, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. We have to teach our people that if they're going to stand for Jesus Christ, it's the Christ who said, they hated me and they will hate you. We have to teach our people, are they willing to put up with severe suffering in order to follow Jesus Christ? And so, thanks for listening to all of this. We covered a lot of material, a lot of verses. One of the neat things about being able to retrieve all of this is that you can go back over it and over it again and review and grow and see the things that maybe you didn't see the first time through. The main thing that we've been talking about is that to be ordained doesn't make you a different person. It just recognizes the ability that is in you. The ability to lead in various ways, the ability to teach people to know their Savior, the ability to teach people to know their materials, the ability to teach people to know their audience, what people around us are like. But I want to close with this thought for you as an ordained person. It comes from Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Paul is, the Holy Spirit is talking to the church there and says, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then it goes on to say that they set apart certain men who were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. That's the first time that we read about people being ordained in the organized church. And what does it say in that verse? We'll turn our responsibility over to them. That's sort of why you are set apart, sort of why you are ordained. Not to do everything yourself, but as we saw in the verse in Ephesians chapter 4, you are being given to those around you to show them how to do the work of the Lord. And what did they say in this verse here? You do that, we'll turn this responsibility over to you, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. I want to ask you, as we close out this session, what will you give your attention to? Do you think by being set apart that you have to take care of all the details in the church? Do you think you have to handle everything? Do you think you have to be better at everything? Or will you recognize that people are set apart in order to give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word? Praying without ceasing, praying for everybody, teaching, sharing the gospel. What will you give your attention to? You are called to prayer and the ministry of the word. Let me close with a prayer. Jesus, we've heard your teachings in these lessons. Thank you for setting us apart for service for you. We want to be the kind of persons who follow you, and we pledge we will give ourselves to prayer and to your ministry through your word. We love you. Amen.